Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Leeds to Success podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing, can anyone be rich? And what is rich? Are you rich? How do you compare to the average UK citizen? So I think this is a really interesting topic. First of all, yes or no, can anyone be rich?
I would say, I can't speak for every country in the world, but in England, yeah, I think anyone can.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm not sure. Obviously, we haven't got experience outside of England, but any sort of Western European, American, Australia, anywhere where there's opportunity.
Yeah, I think.
I saw a thing with an American. He said, he goes, one of the things I realised, because we're the land of the free, the land of opportunity. One of the things I realised when I travelled the world is, so is everybody else. You know, there is opportunity everywhere. And I think, and we were born, we certainly not into a rich household. When we first got married, we were probably on about 18 grand a year between the two of us.
Yeah.
Living in a little council house, and we've now turning over millions every year, right? So we've gone from that. Now, did we get that handed on a plate? Could anyone have done what we did? I believe that they could. However, I think there's a few reasons why a lot of people won't become rich.
Yeah.
And be interesting to see what people think in the comments and where they sort of rank on this. But the main reason I think that people won't become rich in this country is because their biggest way of earning money is they're relying on having a job.
Yeah.
And I've got some interesting statistics here for you.
Okay.
So, if you're relying on a job, now this actually probably does include all earners. So anyone in the UK, any adult in the UK that earns money is in this list. And what they've done is they've plotted them all on a graph and they've done it in percentiles. So you can see whether you, what percentage you're in, right? So to be in the top 50% of adults that earn money, I'll just caveat that this will include part-time salaries, this will include full-time, this includes everyone, anyone that earns money. To be in the top 50% of earners in the UK, you've only got to be earning £26,300.
Well.
Now, if you think about the costs, how expensive it is to live, 50% of people are earning less than £26,300. I mean, that's staggering. To be in the top 25%, so in the top 25%, you've got to be earning 39,800. So if you're earning 40 grand, you're in the top 25% of earners across the whole of the country. And we're a rich country.
Yeah.
Apparently. To be in the top 10%. Now, the top 10%, you'd say, that's normally quite impressive, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in the top 10%. To be in the top 10%, you've got to be earning £59,200. And you're in the top 10%.
Wow.
Of earners in the UK. So anyone that's trying to rely on a job is going to struggle to get rich. Now, of course, there are exceptions, right? So you mentioned to me earlier where we live here in Beaconsfield. There are people here that are living in mansions, multi-million pound mansions.
And most of them have
and
most jobs.
Most of them have a job, right? Exactly. The top 1% earns 183,000. Or more. If you earn 183,000 or more, you're in the top 1%. So, you know, at that level, maybe. But basically what we're saying is, if you're going to rely on a job, you've kind of got to get to the top 1%.
Yeah, you've got to be, like, one of the best in that field, haven't you?
But not just in that field. There'll be lots of fields. Like, if you are brilliant
at
customer
service.
No, but
what I mean is, you've got to be, like, a top doctor or a top banker, or if you haven't worked your way up, you won't be on those wages anyway.
You can't even just have a good job. You've got to have a good job and then be senior, and you know, that'll probably be, it'd be interesting to put age brackets on that as well.
Yeah.
I imagine that these people will be quite a lot older. So, you know, in principle, if you're relying on a job, you're a little bit screwed. You're going to struggle to get rich. Now, as far as I see it, there's two ways of kind of getting rich. The first is to earn a lot of money and have a good active income. So your job or being an entrepreneur, whatever it is, you need to be earning a lot of money. And then the second is you need to be investing that and letting your money work for you. So a big thing I think a big skill that you need to master if you want to get rich is the skill of leverage. So when we started our first company, it was an entertainment business. And the first thing that I kind of realized is, if I'm going out and doing the entertainment, I'm only one person. I've only got so much time. There's only so much money we can earn with me doing everything. So what you say, okay, well, what I need to do is I need to hire someone else that I send out and I take a percentage of the profit. And then suddenly we ended up in a situation where we had like 35, 40 people going out for us. And I'm earning, obviously I'm not earning quite as much as if it was 35 of me, because I have to pay them, but we were earning probably half of it.
Yeah.
So suddenly it's like seven. So we're leveraging other people's time.
Yeah.
And when you're an employee, all these people on these statistics, you are being leveraged by someone else, right? So you're making someone else rich.
Yeah.
In essence, if you've got a job. Now, it might be that you're okay with that. It might be, yeah, you know what? I'm enjoying my job. I don't want to run a business. I don't want to be getting people working for me.
They see it as total security as well, don't they? They know how much they're getting at the end of the month. Some people struggle.
Do you think it's total security?
No, I don't. But I think that's how they see it, as total security. I want to know exactly how much I'm making at the end of the month, and so I can plan. They don't like the entrepreneurship of running their own company, not knowing how much they're going to be getting.
To me, it's the opposite of total security, because you're totally relying on someone else. If your boss fires you, that security is gone. If you get made redundant, even like working for like big companies, you see these big companies like Netflix and people like that, and they're like, oh yeah, we just made 1,000 people redundant.
Yeah, well, it's mad even around here by us, where we do happen to live among a lot of the top 1% earners that are very high up in their jobs. I know of the last 4 years since living here, multiple people that have been made redundant. Now, they have gone on to get other jobs because of how high positions they've had. But
they've got a few month gap.
Yeah.
And the stress and the anxiety. Yeah. It's not like, oh, yeah, I've just got security.
Yeah, which is quite crazy. Like,
I can think of three off the top of my head.
I can think of four, yeah.
Four, yeah.
Which is quite a lot of people to know in 4 years who've been made
It's not
redundant.
Like we know everyone around here.
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage of people that have got jobs around here have actually been made redundant. I mean, it's got to be quite high. If we look at men that we know in the area, it's like...
And that's over 4 years.
It's at least 10% over the last 4 years.
And we're talking banks.
Bankers, IT experts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. So I think the first key is you need leverage, and if you need to be an entrepreneur, you need to be leveraging other people. Whether you're employing them or not, you don't necessarily have to be employing them, but you need to find a way of using leverage. The second thing I would say, and this is a lesson that I learned, is in the entertainment industry that we were in originally, while we were using leverage and it was great and it was brilliant, and we were doing quite well. We were probably at the time turning over about $1 million a year, probably. But I think we kind of pushed that business as far as it could go.
Yeah, I feel like that business, even though you could be rich from it, it did have, like, you could only take it to this level. There's only so many kids' parties that are thrown every weekend in this country. And certainly, obviously, at an age demographic, it's not like everyone there is. We kind of really did take that.
Yeah, we kind of pushed that about as far as I felt like we could take it. And I think the industries that you're in, I mean, it wasn't bad but it wasn't a particularly well-paying industry.
No.
Which is why I moved to property, because property, I think the industry that you go into, I heard an interesting thing by Diary of a CEO book by Stephen Bartlett. He was a marketer, and he was saying that he targeted small businesses, and that was who his market was. And then he got pitched by a pharmaceutical company, and they were like, we want to headhunt you, we want you to bring you onto this project, this is it, blah, blah, blah. And they gave him the budget and his fee. And he was like, I was stunned by it. It was like five times more than I'd ever charged for anything before. And I realized at that point, I've been marketing for the wrong guys. Because if you're marketing for a small business, they've got to see a good ROI on it. So if they're not very profitable, their marketing efforts, they're not going to want to spend a lot on marketing because they've got to keep those costs low because they're not making much profit.
Yeah.
Whereas a pharmaceutical industry, they're making bucket loads of profit. So suddenly everything goes up. And I think the exact same, I don't know anything about pharmaceuticals, but I think the exact same about property. Like if you look at people like deal sellers, for example, what they're actually doing is they're finding an opportunity and they're packaging it and selling it on. It's almost like do you know the people that have the Facebook market shops?
Yeah.
Where they'll go and they'll get stuff from the charity shop for free, they'll repurpose it, they'll package it and sell it on, and it's a steal. It's a great deal or whatever. That's almost the same skill. It's just one of them is doing it with
and making a few quid.
Toys, making a few quid. Yeah. And one of them's doing it with really lucrative property opportunities where it's worth the investor paying £3,000, £5,000, £20,000 for you finding that opportunity because the value is there.
Yeah.
So I think you want to be, if you're going to set up a business, you're going to take your time. Yes, you need to leverage other people's time, or you need to do that as well, but also move into an industry where there's a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this saying, isn't there? You know, if it's raining, you stand outside, you're going to get wet. And in the same way, if you move into something like the property industry, the pharmaceutical industry, it's a lot of money, you're going to get wet.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to help yourself. And the third thing that I think you need to be able to do, rather than just rely, you could do this if you relied on a job, but I think it's important that you make your money work for you and you reinvest the money that you earn. Don't just spend everything, every single penny that you get. How would you go about suggesting someone manages the money that they're earning? If they're earning anywhere on this field, but especially if they're earning good, I think the more money you earn, the more important it is. But how would you go about suggest sort of saving that money or investing that money?
Well, I think obviously over the time, you talk about it a lot, Samuel talks about it a lot, about the jars, and that's a great way to save money. Have your different jars for different things. That's always worked for us, hasn't it? Even back in the days in our council house, we used to do that.
Yeah. So what do you mean by jars?
So you have, like, obviously your essentials, like how much your mortgage is and things, and then you split the rest between just money to just splash. So even if it's only 5% of your money, that's the money for you to go out and just splash on whatever you want, so you feel like you've got some money to spend on yourself. Then obviously you'll have financial freedom. Well, we do.
Yeah. Which is money to invest. So basically you're just budgeting from the beginning. So rather than, because what most people do is you'll notice this actually as well. I bet if you're watching this, when your salary increases, suddenly so do all your costs. So you start earning more money, but then you start spending the more money as well. And it kind of happens automatically. We're programmed as humans to use what we have. So if you have a certain amount of money, you'll find a way of spending a certain amount of money and increasing your lifestyle. So the idea of sort of budgeting ahead of time. So let's say you're earning 10 grand a month. It's like, right, I'm going to earn 10 grand a month. How much? We'll put 50% of that aside for our essentials. So our house, our car, you know, all the bills, everything that we need just to live, that comes out straight away. But then we're going to put 10% for investing for the future. We're going to put 10% investing in ourselves, in our education. 10% is going to go to charity, and you budget it all out to begin with. The interesting thing is, suddenly, play, splash money, which is
rainy
your favourite account.
Yeah, my favourite account. We have rainy day, because there is always things that pop up. Your car breaks, the washing machine goes. It can be anything, can't it? And it's nice to have a bit of what we call rainy day money for all those things that you can't predict are going to happen.
Yeah, but I think the one important one, really, it's important to have all of them, but the important one for me is your financial freedom account, your investing account. So any money that goes into that, you're not allowed to spend it on anything other than investments, other than things that are going to pay you back money. So now my favourite and our favourite by far has been property. I think property has been an amazing investment over the time. I love property investing for a few reasons. I think the first reason it's so great is that, again, talking about leverage, you can use a mortgage
Yeah.
To leverage. So you're buying an asset that's, say, worth 250 grand, but you're only putting down 50 grand. And the other 200 grand, you can use a mortgage, which is leverage. And the reason that's so important is because, let's say you just bought a 50 grand house up in Hull. We know property on average doubles every 10 years. So in 10 years' time, that 50 grand house will probably be worth 100. So you've put in 50 grand, and over 10 years, you've made 50 grand. Happy days. Well done, you. However, if you buy a 250 grand house with the same 50 grand and use a mortgage, in 10 years' time, that 250 grand house will probably be worth 500 grand. But you've made, even though you haven't put all the money in, you make all that capital appreciation. So that 250 grand that's gone up is all for you. So you've put 50 grand in, and over the 10 years, you've made 250 grand in capital appreciation, plus whatever money you've made for the rental as well. And if you rent it out with creative strategies, such as serviced accommodation or HMOs, you can make an awful lot of money. I mean, we bought a property in Lichfield a couple of years ago, and within 2 years, forget how much has gone up in value. It's actually gone up quite a lot.
Yeah, it has.
But forget how much has gone up in value. Within 2 years, we'd, from the rental income alone, we'd made back all the money that we put in. And then we've got this asset that's going up in value. So I think if you could invest in property, that is an absolutely phenomenal investment, especially if you know what you're doing, and especially if you know how to maximize the rental values, where to buy for capital appreciation, etc. But you almost can't go wrong, really, with property. It's so good.
Yeah, it is. I think you've missed the most important when we say, can anyone be rich?
Go on.
I think, it was funny, I was talking to my sister-in-law about this the other day, and someone said to her, oh, I don't think I can. And she was like, yeah, you're right, you can't, no. Like, anyone could, but if you've got that mindset, yeah, you're right, no, you can't. And I think when I talk to people and they say, oh, how did you do it? Well, I can't. Oh, I can't. Well, yeah, you're right, you actually probably can't.
Oh, it's funny because I do videos like, on our property investors channel, and we'll be like, oh, this is a deal that we've done. And people are coming on, you can't do that. You can't do that. And it's like, well, they're never going to do it.
Yeah, so
they
I
don't even believe I can do it.
Yeah, and I actually think if you say, can anyone in this country become rich? I think the first thing is it comes down to their mindset. Because if they don't believe they can, you're right, they can't. So actually, I think if they don't change their mindset, they actually can't.
I think that being stuck in the programmed, you know, go to school, go to university, get a good job. I think it's been stuck in that. Yeah.
And I do think times are changing, and I think less people have that mindset.
I don't know if they do, you know. I think we just hang around with less people that have that mindset.
Yeah, true. That could be the case as well.
I think that, you know, I think we hang around with, you know, we see a lot of people that come through, everyone we work with, all the people that come on our training. I think that they're in that they know that they can. But I think if you just went out into spoke to a normal person.
Yeah, they probably.
I think they would be the exact.
And
you're
kind of told, aren't you, to get your job, and you almost live for retirement.
Yeah.
And it's like, get your house, pay off your mortgage, never move again, live in one house for the rest of your life. And
but
then
you know what's
you're
going to
have
though?
Great fun when you retire at 65.
But you know what's interesting? They actually won't. Most millennials believe they will never be able to retire. If you look at how much pension they're going to get, it's going to be so low, they're going to have to carry on working anyway.
Yeah, that's mad. And I do know people that's happened to, and they're still working into their 70s now.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me the other day, Alison was saying that her friend can't retire.
No, but that's happening all the time. So it's like, oh yeah, look forward to retirement. Get a good job for life. It doesn't exist.
No.
You have to go out there and you have to make it happen for yourself. So I think you're right, though, about having the right mindset.
Yeah,
because
I think...
The first thing you've got to do is open up your mind and be like, this is possible. I mean, the easiest way to do that is to get around people that are doing stuff like this.
Which is what we said about last week, being around the right people.
Yeah.
And that's where it could have a massive effect on you. If you're not around people that believe, because the minute you believe in that, you might believe in yourself, but you will get family, friends. Oh, no, stay in your job. Don't you can't be quitting your job and going off trying to be an entrepreneur and trying to... I think that is where friends have a massive influence on people.
Mm.
And family, because naturally they'll be like, no, you can't be. Because can you imagine what people would say if, you know, a man of a household who's got a family is like, actually, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to set up in property. They're obviously going to get people around them say, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, they would. I actually wouldn't even encourage that, to be honest. A lot of people, they go, I've quit my job. And I'm like, whoa, okay, you know, I know that's the end goal.
Yeah.
Right, but, you know, calm down because it's not an overnight thing.
I quit my job.
You did quit, to be fair, I say
and
that.
And that was a bit of a risk.
But I wouldn't advise that for someone else. I advised that for us. That was at the time because you hated it. I was just like, we'll figure it.
Yeah, and you still had a job.
We didn't both quit. but yeah, I think you're right. I think mindset is probably the key. Mindset and knowledge.
Yeah.
Because I think your mindset often comes from your knowledge. If you know other people are doing it, that will shift your mindset, right?
Yeah.
So you need to know what's possible. You need to have a plan. How you can set up. I would definitely probably start doing it on the side. If it was me starting again, I had a job and I was back like I was now, I would probably be thinking, okay, well, I know property is a brilliant industry. If you look at the Sunday Times rich list, like over 30% of the people that are on there have made their money from property. So, okay, that's a good industry. We want to get into that. And I understand that industry. I'd be thinking probably deal selling.
Yeah.
Maybe rent to rent. I'd be thinking if I could do that, get up some good income from that, then I can quit my job and then I can start looking at investing, you know, things like lease options, things like joint ventures. I can start saving to invest in property using the jobs. I think I do believe anyone could do that if they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Anyone in this country could do that and could become very, I think depending on your skill set, you might hit different levels.
Yeah.
But I think anyone that put their work in would be able to become very financially successful, anyone in this country.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think we're on the same page. Well, guys, thanks very much for watching. I've been Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.